Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Who is the best companion on Doctor Who? We're going to be asking this question and a lot more in today's episode of Systematic Ecology. We are the Priest of the Geeks. I'm your host, Christian Ashley, here to do another, surprisingly, Doctor Who episode with one of the doctors himself, a lesser doctor than, of course, TJ, but a doctor nonetheless. How's it going, Joshua?
Yeah, it's doing great. Yeah. The doctor without any doctorate or PhD or anything smart to say at all, really.
I mean, technically, I'm a master now, so.
A master of divinity. Is a master of divinity better than a doctorate of humanity? That's what I want.
Yes. Absolutely, yes. All right, man. What have you been geeking out on recently?
Well, we're doing two today, so I had to like write down and make sure I don't say the same things. I'm going to go with the Adventure Time comics. I didn't know they existed, but I was at Comic-Con and I saw them. I was like, I wonder if they're any good. Ryan North, one of the authors, I was like, wait a minute, I like that guy. And then I saw that some of them actually, some part of it, won one of the Eisners. And I was like, oh, so these are like good comics. And they are actually surprisingly good. Like, not just Cartoon Network wanted more money, but like somebody had more story to tell. And I'm happy.
I'm also going to select a comic. I read this one not too long ago, and it's actually, I didn't even know it was going to come out. The Fantastic Four Gargoyles comic crossover came out not too long ago. And as far as I know, it was a new thing, and it was great. I loved it. I mean, they had great moments for everyone to play. It kind of made it to where the Gargoyles have kind of always been part of the Marvel Universe, so I didn't have to explain things too much on that end. Iron Man shows up, Thanatos. It's a wonderful time.
Cool. All right. Consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser, Good Pods, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And of course, we do want to do a shout out to one of our financial sponsors. Today, I'm going to shout out Jonathan Augustine. You rock. Thank you for supporting our show. If you guys want your own shout out, you can become an official member of Systematic Geekology on our website, where you can find merch and extra content and just other ways to be part of the community if you want to plug in there.
So head over to Fourth Wall and help us out.
Anyway, come on. How long is he?
So today we're going to be doing a special tier ranking episode on our list. So when we announce it and this is released, feel free to add your own. Like, who would you rank where? We're doing.
And I've done this before.
Yes.
with different answers.
Oh, boy. This will be fun. So we're going to be doing our top five Doctor Who companions. So, Joshua, we've already discussed before on previous episodes how we got into the show. So rather than repeat that again, not treat it like the Marvel every episode is everyone's first episode or every issue is whatever.
But we don't have time for that today.
No. Yeah, we have a lot to do today.
Yeah.
So how much of Doctor Who have we both watched? I'm curious.
I've seen all that I can get my hands on. There are still some stuff from the classic era that I can't seem to find, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, this is like 60 years of TV.
It's a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there are episodes that are lost to time. Back in the day, it wasn't really standard operating procedure to save everything. So stuff got rewritten over, got tossed out. Some are lost in fire.
One story arc on DVD that's not available in America.
Yeah. But I am happy to say that there are some audio recordings left behind. So people have reanimated some scenes. And, you know, they look a little janky, but you know what? You get to see things in motion. It's fine. So, yeah, I've seen pretty much everything that's been released that is still around. Television wise, I haven't listened to any of the Big Finish stuff. I've listened to podcast episodes of people talking about how they listen to it, and some of them sound really fun.
Some of it's good.
So I've never read any of the novels that have come out, especially in the interim period in between the ending of the Seventh Doctor's time and then after the TV special for the Eighth Doctor. There were some novels released, a lot of Big Finish stuff. So I haven't gotten any of that, but I've heard some of it's really good, and I'm missing out on some companions there.
And Spotify, if I'm thinking right, it has all of the audiobooks free on Spotify. Which, so if you're a fan of the Big Finish stuff, a lot of it is on Spotify. I think all of the Eighth Doctor stuff, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So don't quote me or yell at me in the comments.
Yeah, not sponsored, but could be.
For that anyway.
So, Joshua, when it came to the idea of making this tier list of our favorite companions, like what was your criteria for picking your top five? I'm curious.
Just what I felt like.
Mm.
I don't have any real criteria this time. I was like, you know what? I like that one.
Okay.
I mean, in times past, I put a lot more thought into it. But this time I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with who I like the most. Just simple, you know?
I mean, that is part of my ranking list. I'm not going to say anything against that. It's like, do I like them or not? Yeah, that's a big reason to put them up there. Part of it was also how I like their arcs. Know how I liked the episodes they were in. How many times would I say I got angry with them as a character? Because that kind of would bring other people down. And, you know, as much as I like them, then others, like, how do they play well with the Doctor? Well, whoever they're playing opposite, they should be like able to carry themselves in a way with him that brought some fun to the story and also helped build the two of them together. And also how much they challenged the Doctor. I really put that in there too.
I will say at least one of mine isn't higher up on the list because of story arcs. Like, I think I would have enjoyed them a lot more if the story were just better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like what in your opinion makes someone a good companion?
Being named Christian Ashley, really, that puts them up there. If they're not named Christian, they're imperfect. So you got to start there.
It's a great criteria. No, I mean,
honestly, fun. Because a large part of what the Doctor, like, yeah, the Doctor saves people. He cares about people. He's whatever. But the Doctor isn't on, like, some mission most of the time. He's not like, all right, here's what I want to accomplish in the universe. We're going to defeat the Galactic Empire. He's just kind of seeing what's out there and having a good time. So I feel like if the companion isn't fun, meh. And also, really important here, how much like a dog is the companion? If you're a dog, that makes you a really good companion. Isn't that right, Copper? He said, yeah.
Yes. We've got a literal one of those on the list, I think, judging by that. yeah. For me, it's, once again, how well did I play with the Doctor? And I mean that in various ways. Did they just take everything he says at face value, or do they push back a bit and ask questions? Do they just accept everything, or do they go out and look out for something themselves? Or accepting something in the midst of, you know, the techno babble and the weirdness and an alien is right in front of you, how do they react in the face of that? Do they just stand there and scream? Do they freeze? Do they improvise? Like, what's something about them that makes them go, okay, they're different than if X companion here had been here, they would have reacted this way. This one would have done it this way. And like there's also got to be something to them to make me go, okay, I want the Doctor to be around you because you bring out this aspect of him that we wouldn't see if someone else were here.
Yeah. So
how about a bad one? What do you think makes a bad companion?
Not being named Christian Ashley.
Oh, that too.
Not being a literal dog. not being fun, being whiny. I think being whiny immediately makes it like, no. One, because I don't want to watch a whiny character. Two, because the Doctor's just out trying to have a good time. And then like, three is you are literally with the Doctor. How much do you have to complain about? Like you know, it's kind of like when rich people complain about stuff and you're like, I don't care about your problem. So you're getting to hang out with the Doctor. I have a really hard time caring that much about you complaining of every little thing, you know?
I mean, but still, though, there's plenty to complain about because they're in scenarios they're not prepared for. because the doctor is very bad at
complaining about legitimate situations and just being whiny. There are some characters that are just whiny. And I'm like,
I think we're going to have an argument about something later on. I'm so ready for it.
All right, go ahead.
So before we head any further, go ahead and let's start off with our honorable mentions. Like, they would have probably made a list, but it's only five, so we had to narrow it down. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Who are your honorable mentions?
I don't know why I had a harder time with this than anything. I'll say Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane's going to make an honorable mention because she's cool.
Yes.
Rose Tyler, because it used to be one of my top ones, but as time's gone on and I've matured, I'm like, I don't necessarily like characters that immature. They kind of annoy me now, but I still like the relationship with the doctor, even though it is problematic. I enjoy that storyline. I'll just throw a third one in just to throw it in. I liked Ruby. I wish they would have done more with her.
Yeah.
But
it would have been nice. Yeah,
she seemed pretty cool. They just didn't do enough with her for me to really be like, oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
and then the one guy who thought he was the doctor in that one special.
Oh, you weren't big on
him? He was awesome. It's just really hard to pick someone off of a single.
Oh, you were big on him. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved him. It's just hard to pick someone based off of one special, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm picking Romana, too. I've always loved her. It was hard not to put her on this list, but the other characters just kind of edged her out. Amy Pond, I love the relationship. Some of the relationships she had with the doctor. There were other parts of it I'm not huge on. Rose Tyler's also on my list. She was really, I mean, for the first companion of a new series, she did well enough. She's never going to be my favorite, but there's enough there for fun. It was also hard for me not to put Leela on my top five because... I love a woman who's a solution to every problem is stab it or destroy it or whatever. You know what? It's just fun to have her around. And then, of course, I also threw Susan on there. I know that might be a weird one for someone, you know, being a doctor's daughter and everything.
Oh, I agree.
She shows up at the very beginning. But I loved her interplay with her grandfather and all the lore we get potentially from that. That should have been focused on
one of the seasons.
That would have been nice after being teased so long. But you know what? Yeah. It's fine. They're coming back. It's just going to take longer than we want.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Since you mentioned Amy, I remembered. I do also have to shout out honorable mention to Rory Williams. I think the only reason he didn't make my list is because he has a relationship with Amy, who is incredibly annoying.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, and also River Song has to get a shout out because.
Oh, yes.
It's River Song. She's awesome. I think the only reason she didn't make my list is I can't. For the life of me, I can't think of her as a companion. You know, like I'm just like, I know that maybe she technically counts, but my brain's like, no, she's her own. Like, that would be like calling the doctor someone's companion because he happened to be on an adventure with him. It's like, he's the doctor. He's no one's companion. What are you talking about? I don't know. It's just a me thing, maybe.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
All right. So we're going to actually go into our list now. We'll be going, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Joshua's going to start off. I'm going to ask you what makes this character your favorite. What's a great example of an episode that showcases who they are? How well did they play off the doctor? And what don't we like about them? Or would we have liked to have seen more from?
I should take my medicine again.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, I have a little bit of brain fog today. I'm going to go with Clara. She was awesome. Really fun, smart, witty, played really well off of the Peter Capaldi doctor. I like their relationship. And for a long time, because before I was married when this came out, I liked her because she was pretty. And I'm going to be honest about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's going in at number five.
She's a very beautiful woman.
the main reason she's number five is because I feel like the story, like plot wise, they were just like, oh yeah, but also she's the greatest thing in all of the universe. And I'm like, okay, that's a little annoying. But that's not her fault. That's just the writer's fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. It does kind of get a little over dramatic with how much she influences the Doctor's life. And I'm fine with what they do ultimately. First. But some of the build up there is just a little much.
I do want to see her again, though, because that is technically a possibility. Also, yes. I really hope the reason it's a restaurant is like a nod to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But
I mean, surely
that's a discussion for another. That would be a good what if. what were the questions I'm supposed to answer?
What makes your what makes the character one of your favorites?
Did I do that already?
Kind of. Okay. What's a great example of an episode that showcases Clara?
Okay. Mummy on the Orient Express. Ooh. You see her doing some detective stuff. She's having fun. She's with Capaldi. And it's not one of those like pivotal, the entire plot revolves around this story. She just gets to kind of be herself and you can kind of watch it by itself. So it's a really good episode. Okay. And mummies on a train in space. That's one of those like as much as like Matt Smith's not my favorite, it's one of those where it's like dinosaurs on a spaceship. Like there are sometimes a Doctor Who just does stuff that you're like, yeah, yeah, that kid in me is like, yeah, this is what I always wanted when I dump my toys out on the carpet. Like here's a train, here's a spaceship, together. Here's a mummy. Yep. Great.
And that's part of the fun.
Yeah. Would you say what I didn't like? I really feel like the main thing I didn't like is just how they kind of made everything pivot around her too much. But even with that, it's annoying because even with that, if you go to like the Raven episode and you see like some of the ending with it, it's like she clearly did not approve of how the Doctor treated her or how she didn't want everything to revolve around her. So I'm like, it's hard to hold it against her. But it does make the character annoying.
And she does push back. And I appreciate that, especially against 12. And he deserves a lot of pushback.
Yeah, I didn't like her with Matt Smith that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, with 12, great.
Yeah. Okay. So unless there's anything else you want to say about Clara.
I'm good. Okay. Is it Clara or Clara?
We'll go on to mine. Either one. It's pretty. It's British.
I've heard a lot of them say Clara, but whenever Capaldi said it was always Clara. And I was like, well, which one is
that's
it?
The accent, the Clara.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a yokel from North Kakalaki, so I say Clara.
That Clara, Clarine.
Yeah. Them British people keep speaking. They say some words. All right. So we're going on to mine, and I'm picking Sarah Jane for my number five.
What? Who's that?
Yeah. I, like many of my age, were introduced to her during the revival series when she came along and became a companion of 10. Well, in the time of Rose Tyler again. And loved the history that's without having seen the episodes. I knew this woman had a history with the Doctor, that she loved him. She knew what he was about, wanted to help him out. And it was just fun. And then later on, since I have watched those episodes from before, I can see her with 3 and 4 and how she plays with them. The fourth Doctor is my second favorite Doctor. And I know we're going to argue about that in a bit later on. But I loved them together because they just meshed well. And I'm thinking of episodes that kind of showcase her. I'll pick one from each kind of era. Revival and beginning, and it maybe not be one. I mean, it's a popular episode, but I don't know if it'd be one people would use to solidify her as one of their favorite companions. But it's Sutek, whichever. I can never remember. I should have written these down before we did this. Pyramids of Mars. That's what it is. where she's like, but Doctor, like, obviously, it doesn't matter what we do here because you know, well, I'm from the future, and. That can't happen because this, you know, all the timey-wimey stuff that happens there. And the Doctor said, okay, do you want to see something? And he takes her to the future if they did nothing and the Earth is a wasteland. And it's that moment of realization that goes, oh, time traveling, what we do here matters. What we do here matters. And like seeing that kind of dawning on her, I love it. To get to the companion, you know, these aren't just fun romps around history. Like the Doctor is supposed to be here and he's supposed to be active and the people with him are supposed to be active too. Then from the revival parts, I'm going to have her like her little face off with Rose. It's definitely a huge, fun comedy scene, but it's also kind of one of those of like, oh, you've been with him? You think you're so great? I did this with him. I did this with him. Well, I fought the Loch Ness Monster with him. And she goes, oh. And it's a good way of showing, like, for classic Who fans, when that was airing, they go, yeah, I watched that. I love that. And for new ones like me, who's go, man, she really fought the Loch Ness Monster? And it's a great way of showing who she is, but also showing that there would be friction between companions if they ever met. Because, like, I've shared this with the Doctor, and you shared this with them. And, of course, as the revival series was way more romantically focused than the original one was, even though there were hints that Sarah Jane kind of had a thing for him. I don't really know where I was going with that, other than, like, you could play it out a little more there. And speaking of playing it off, Three and her, I think they work fine enough together. It was kind of obvious it was a time when he was about to leave, and then Baker comes along, and there's just chemistry. Like, they're, like, having fun. There's this ridiculous person in a costume there, and yet it's the greatest threat in the universe, and we're going to play it off like that. She fights back to an extent with him. Not as much as I'd like to. You know, I think sometimes they're afraid of having a companion be too against the Doctor when a Doctor's doing something wrong. They want to, like, have them push back, but they could go a little further, because sometimes the Doctor needs to be called out. And I think Sarah Jane is that kind of person who'd do that really well. Let's see. What we don't like, early Sarah Jane, when they first introduce her, is kind of the definition of a straw feminist. And, like, we want a hip character who's a woman. She's going to let you know she's a woman. And they thankfully start playing that down later on. It's like, no, she never stops, you know, being a strong woman. But it's more like, we're not telling you she is. She's going to show you that she is. And if she was very guilty of character writers who were, like, on the telling side of things early on. And unfortunately, you know, Elizabeth Sladen is her actress's name. She died way too young. And the Sarah Jane adventures were a lot of fun. I do miss that we didn't get a chance to see more of her. I'd love to see her play off of future Doctors again, like what they've been doing with Mel.
That is fun with Mel. I forgot about Mel. Yeah, she is also the reason I went back and watched Classic Who, because I probably was just going to watch the revival era stuff. And then, like, all those little references, like you were talking about, like with, like, the Loch Ness Monster. And I'm like, wait a minute.
There's more to the show.
Yeah, then I she cost me a lot of money. That's why she didn't make my top five. Oh man, that's funny. Anything right. else with Sarah?
That's me.
Sarah Jane. All right. K-9. He's one of my favorites because he's a dog. What I don't like about him, he's not literally the only thing we see in every episode.
He's a dog. Actually,
he has his own show.
They were planning.
He did have a spinoff.
Well, I thought it was a pilot episode.
I'm pretty sure
it's going to be in Australia.
Yeah, there was 26 episodes, right? Or did they never make it? Maybe they never made it.
I think there was a pilot one that they filmed, but it never got any further. But he's definitely in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh yeah, yeah, heavily in those. Also, he's a dog. I don't know if anybody knows that. Also a robot, but a dog. What were the other questions I was supposed to answer? Best episode watched with him in it.
Don't you have
any of the ones with him in it?
Up?
Yeah, any episode that he's in is a good one to see why you should like him. Because if you look at it, you'll see that he's a dog. I think that's it. I don't think I need to make a further case for this. He is a dog. K-9.
I love K-9 too. You know, the great part about him is he's not a literal dog, which means I can be around him for hours at a time and not,
I had K-9 as a pet, Christian could come over and hang out with him.
Rather than having to take allergy pills and standing outside for a moment to get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, my house is a zoo.
Dog. Well, it's fine. We work it out. Yeah. And I just love how he's the kind of a definition of a servile snarker of, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but I'm also going to, like, give you the business because you're a little haughty for your own good at times for, and I'm going to let you have it.
And he sacrificed himself a few times.
Yeah. He's a good dog.
Also,
good boy.
Yeah. Companion you can rebuild if you want. It's great. And I do also really enjoy how the show is like, we're going to add this really cheesy thing in and play it off like it's not the cheesiest thing. I love it.
This is super serious.
Yeah. It's K-9. What do you mean? You should be crying when he sacrificed himself for that third time. And you know what? I think I might have.
Okay.
I love him.
All right. Well, next up on my docket is Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart. This is my guy. I love him in the show. One of the most reoccurring characters on Doctor Who. In a time when they had budget cuts aplenty, they were forcing the Third Doctor to stay on Earth. And he had been introduced in a time of the Second Doctor, but he really started to become the Third and Fourth Doctor's kind of friends. And later on, other Doctors would encounter him. And unfortunately, you know, actor did pass away. Nicholas Courtney, I think, is his name. And we get a little nice fitting tribute to him with Clara and the Doctor when the Cybermen are attacking. Obviously, since they can put the actor there, they can put a guy in a Cyberman suit and show, you know, they're together, that they're appreciative for one another and a final sacrifice for him in that regard. But what I love about him is that he's kind of an anti-Doctor in many respects. And he's not really like a classic companion in the sense that he always goes with the Doctor places in the TARDIS, but he goes with them places on Earth. You know, he's been in the TARDIS before, but it's not really like his big thing. His job is in charge of UNIT, making sure that these alien threats are dealt with and that people don't die. And unfortunately, you know, since the show is what it is, his soldiers aren't as effective as they would be on another show. So his idea of like five rounds rapid isn't always going to work on a show that historically, well, outside of certain parts of the show, definitely the revival era, doesn't like guns and doesn't like the army. But he's just the typical stiff upper lip British man, knows what he wants, and not afraid to give the Doctor lip if he's like, okay, you could at least explain yourself, or you know, this, oh, I see what your plan has gotten us now, you know, we're about to all die. Like, that's just who the Brigadier is. And later on, when we see him in the Seven Doctors era, like, we see him in the midst of retirement and go like, I hate this so much. I should be out there in the field. And he gets like one more chance to be out there in the field, helping. What's the episode with like the weird kind of Camelot stuff. And it's so much fun to have him back. I've seen some people say he's a little more divisive in their ranking lists, but I love him for who he is now.
His daughter, I like his daughter. Also, yeah. Kate is, at first I was like, but Kate's come around. I love her a lot.
I think we reversed positions there. I liked her more before, and then she kind of got written less and less good along the way. less well. So a great episode for him. Like I mentioned, Seventh Doctor's time. There's plenty from the Third Doctor. We used to like, okay, I'm going to deal with this militarily. Third Doctor's like, no, we have to negotiate peace. And they're both right and they're both wrong. And they play off of each other really well. They balance each other out, which is a good way of showcasing the both of them. Because he's willing to stand up to the Doctor, but he's also willing to listen. Like, even if sometimes to his face, he's like, I'm not going to listen to you. He'll tell one of his assistants, hey, go and do the thing the Doctor said, if my plan doesn't work out. So that, you know, there's a mutual respect there. As far as what I don't like, man, that's a tough one. Because really, there's not a lot. I mean, there are some episodes where he's a little more unreasonable than others and not willing to listen to other people speak. And I think that's more a writing problem than a character problem. So I'll throw that out there.
That's fair. I'm trying to think of other things I can say. Nothing. Yeah, he's a good character. Also a good character. My next pick is Wilfred.
Nice.
He is all not a dog, probably his biggest flaw, but he is Wilfred, which is a big bonus. Not as good as being Christian, actually. I love him. Great. He's such a gentle soul and genuinely curious. And he's the guy that I think every church needs, who sees the hero, the doctor or the pastor or whatever, and goes, wait a minute, you're a burden too. And he sees it. Too often, like, people see the strong person in your friend group or your family or church, whatever, and are just like, oh man, yeah, they can handle anything. They're great. And they don't actually see the burden that they carry. Wilfred sees it, which is why I think it was so poetic when the 10th Doctor sacrificed himself for Wilfred, of all people, because it was the one person who sees the Doctor's pain. I love him. I really feel like his biggest flaw actually probably is that he's not a dog, and also not in more episodes. also he's related to Donna, and I just really don't like Donna. I can't stand her. But that literally there's nothing substantial to me like not liking Donna. Just like her personality is just like the kind of person I try to avoid just in real life. So, yeah, and nothing against her, like actually against her, just kind of our personalities. don't click. And she just does so good on TV that she's a believable character. And unfortunately, I believe the character that I don't like. So I don't know. You know, it just is what it is. A lot of times when he's there, she's there also. And putting up with her is hard for me sometimes. Yeah.
Well, it certainly helps too with him specifically is reminding the doctor of his humanity. Yes, the doctor isn't human, but of his morality again. After he spent time trying to be like the last of the Time Lords, you know, the Time Lord victorious, and that failing utterly, because that's not who he's supposed to be. He is supposed to be this person that cares about people, wants to make sure the right thing is done, not enforce his own will upon the world. And well, if it kind of reminds him of that, and he makes a sacrifice play because of his relationship with him that he wouldn't have done with someone else, which does lead us into 11 and gives us the 10th Doctor a way to give a final send off in that regard. So yeah, a great voice.
Yeah. Two things. I do want to say, like, along with what you're saying too, whenever the 14th Doctor gets to see Wilfred again, and yes, like just how much joy that David Tennant shows is like, yeah, yeah, that's what it's all about. Like that one moment. And I'm like, yeah, that's why this character is important. And then also, if I had to pick episode, I forgot to do that part.
Oh, yeah.
Stolen Earth and Journey's End, because it's like a two-parter. I think that's really good because, you know, a lot of good send-offs there. And it's not like final for his storyline, but you kind of see why he plays such an important role as kind of an ordinary human in the midst of a big greater than life story, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, great. Great choice. All right. Moving on to my next pick. I'm going with Jamie McCrimmon from the Second Doctor's era. This is a man who you just have to respect. You know what? Because he is who he is. And what he is, who he is, he's a Scotsman from the 18th century. He's bleeding Scottish blood, wears the kilt, can't be anyone but himself. He'll punch a problem in the face if he needs to. He'll make the sacrifice play if he needs to. He loves the people around him. The relationship he has with the Second Doctor is, it's almost like they're brothers, but maybe also like a father and son. It's played not weirdly over time, but like in a fun way of the two of them. It's like, he's also one of the longest, if not the longest companion we've had, if I'm remembering correctly. And I think that's because people really responded to him. And that's kind of atypical because you would expect young blonde British woman in her 20s or 30s for like the main Doctor's companion, insert hair color race here for everything else. But in that regard, he is like, yeah, the Doctor can have male friends too. They can be buddies. They can travel around time and cause problems and also solve problems. And what he does is just fun, to the point where he's brought back later on in the Two Doctors episode, even though he looks way older, obviously, because, you know, time happens.
Humans age.
But it's still fun. He's, because he's such a fan favorite and his relationship with the Second Doctor, it's so much fun. I love them together. I'm thinking of episodes that would showcase himself. I can think of kind of two. The War Games as a whole is a good one because we get a great series with like this like proto master being involved. Whether some people even said that might even be the master. It's kind of all fan in their eyes, but dealing with these people from different time periods. So as a person himself who's been plucked out of time to all this fantastical stuff, and he just kind of goes with it. That's the other part of I like about him. He's like, oh, okay, that's a thing, and I accept it now because you brought me to this future where these things exist. Like, it's not he doesn't question anything. It's just like, well, I have to accept it because it's right in front of my eyes.
Yeah, also, how much weirder does it get than the TARDIS anyway?
Yes. So, like, you know, that being one of his final series with the Doctor. And unfortunately, they do that thing where, if I'm remembering correctly, like he loses his memory of the Doctor, which is something that happens later on in my list, too. It's so much fun to see him grow, to see him play. And like the interactions he has with the other companions around that time, too, is great. Like I said, I've already mentioned, like, he and the Doctor are just, I'm going to use the word fun again. They're fun because,
yeah,
like, they're like brothers one second. They're also like a father-son kind of duo. They're both just kind of like, okay, this is the thing that's happening now, and we're teaming up because I can trust you to look after my back. And what better person can you have in your life than someone you don't need to turn around? You know they're guarding your back as you're guarding theirs. And that's perfect for Jamie and the Second Doctor. Now, what I don't like,
I'm just deeply upset. I didn't think about Jamie You are correct. I am incorrect, and I apologize to the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. We expect a second apology video later on. Hands on knees, bowing lowly to the audience. No, it's fine. How many companions are there? There's a lot.
Yeah, but...
And then narrowing them down? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I hate his ending to an extent. He deserves a little better.
Most companions do deserve better with their endings.
Yeah.
Clara might be the only one who I'm like, I'm kind of satisfied with that ending. Not the only one, but close. Close to the only one.
I would like there to be like maybe something where it's possible for his memory to be restored, and maybe it's like kind of last final days, and Doctor goes back and visits him one last time, and it solved one last mystery together. You know, if they can do that in a later season, I don't know if the actor's still alive. I'd appreciate it.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Joshua? Your next pick.
Okay. All right. My next pick. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. Brigadier Rich Stewart. It's going to be my number two. Is it my two or three? I'm at two, right? Yeah, number two.
Two.
Everything that Christian said was correct. That's all. Christian was right. The biggest thing I had against him was he did spend a lot of time with the Third Doctor. I can't stand the Third Doctor. He gets on my nerves. The whole car thing, dumb. His whole personality, kind of dumb. Sorry. Appreciate the actor's work. I know he did great. That's just a Doctor Who, when he was the Doctor, was not a show I want to watch. But his time with the Second Doctor.
BBC for budget cuts.
I love the Second Doctor. Second Doctor is fantastic. All the times he showed up after that, except for that one time, if you know, you know. Great. For me, though, the episode I would pick is my go-to for the Brigadier, Web of Fear. I love that. You get the Yeti, you get the Second Doctor, you get the Brigadier. That may be one of the best Doctor Who story arcs, point blank. And his role in it really shows why he is everything Christian said. And I love him. Yeah, that's all. This is just an episode where Christian gets his bat padded the whole time going, wow, Christian, you're so right. And I'm not as good as you.
You're about to contradict yourself. He had
Jamie right. He got Brigadier right. And I'm just here, basking in like Christian's glory until now.
Yeah, before we go that way, yeah, like I said earlier, this is the man. Like, if I want someone leading my military organization, like, man, how can you not trust that? He's going to make the right decisions.
Yeah, you don't get a mustache like that if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and is it Kate who says, like, later on, like, when he was older, he would always, like, get a cup of brandy or something like that, and tea, and he'd always have a second one just in case the Doctor ever showed up again.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, God, what a friendship,
man. They need to make that short. Space, like, they have a few really good shorts, especially like the one with the Fifth Doctor and the Tenth Doctor. I think one of the shorts we need is the Doctor just going and showing up one of those times that he poured that second cup of brandy, just like a final farewell. You know, that'd be cool.
That's good. It's kind of like, you know, leaving an open spot at Passover for Elijah, you know, but every single day.
Yeah. Crazy.
It is Elijah, right?
I didn't know. I was just going to go with it. You're the one who mastered the divine.
I think that was the tradition.
Oh, you guys, I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time. And we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself. We've got the Throne of Iron geeked out because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically, just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out and thank you.
Okay. So here we go to the most controversial take yet for Joshua's side of things. And I'm picking my girl, Donna Noble.
Boo.
Donna starts off as the biggest shrew in the world, and I did not like her. And you're not supposed to like her starting off. That's the intended effect of her character. She is loud, brash, demanding, gets in the way of things. But then when she realizes her marriage is a sham, that things aren't going to go the way she wants, that she's actually seen what a real hero looks like, she changes to the point where, not even being with the doctor, she's investigating things on her own because she's seen the wide whole world revealed to herself of aliens being real and that they're on Earth. So what does she do? She doesn't become passive about it. She does something about it. So when she meets up with Tin again, they get that great scene of the both of them like mouthing at each other from opposite sides of a room that they can't hear each other while the villains are monologuing over here and they finally notice them. It's so much fun to see them band together again. And then the way, kind of combine answers to questions here, it's how she relates to Tin that really helps push her to where I have her here, because after three straight seasons of The Doctor is My Boyfriend, Donna's like, nope, shutting that down. You're not mating with me, spaceman. We're done with that. We're just mates. And I needed that so desperately because Rose is fine. And you get Martha right back to back. It was so annoying. And Martha deserved better as a character, just to not be yet another token love interest or pining one-sided.
I wanted her to be one of my shout outs too. I forgot.
Yeah.
I love Martha.
Yeah, Martha deserved better. But what Donna does is she comes in. Yeah, she still has that fiery will. It hasn't died in her, but now it's been redirected to actually caring about other people and looking out for them and making sure the doctor, who is her best mate, making sure he's okay. And when she's gone, what happens after that? That's how we end up with the Time Lord Victorious, because he doesn't have someone like her around to keep him in line. And that's exactly why companions exist. They make sure the doctor doesn't get into the darker aspects of himself, the ones where he's unhinged, the ones where he goes back to what he was doing at certain points of his life, where he wasn't as on a straight and narrow as he should have been. And Donna was a great way of doing that. And when she had what I thought would be her ultimate ending, in that she lost all memories of everything and she had regressed to who she was before, it was such a tragedy because you'd seen how she had grown. But, you know, for all the many flaws of the most recent seasons, I will say it was great to have her back, to have that undone by the same man who did it, and to give her a new chance at life and a show that, even though she had lost some of it, a part of it had remained, and she was looking out for other people. She was helping them out. She had become a better person. So that was part of her working with the doctor. And I love that about her. Now, what I don't like is, I mean, it's what I'm not supposed to like, is at the very start how she is. But I appreciate who she becomes over time. And I hated her original ending of losing memories of the doctor, of all the things that she had done, because that's not what a hero deserves. But it was overdone, undone. So I can't complain about it too much now.
My biggest gripe isn't instead of her losing memories, I wish they would have let me lost my memory of her.
Oh.
That would have been great. To me, I honestly feel like she had one of the greatest friendships with the doctor of anybody. She really helped the doctor more than anybody. But it kind of would be like, if we had like a group of friends and like I was having Christian over for like Thanksgiving or something, and he made a new best friend that was really good for him and they help each other and they're wonderful. But I find his new best friend to be the most annoying human ever. And then he's like, can I bring her over with me for Thanksgiving, or him over? And like, I know they're just friends. And I'm like, man, yeah, she's really good for Christian, but do I really want her to ruin my Thanksgiving? That's how I feel about her. It's like, I get that she's good for the doctor. Do I really want her with the 10th doctor ruining episodes that I might enjoy otherwise? Not really. That's all. And it's just a personality thing. She is great.
And he's back.
They're great together. I just don't want to have to see her.
All right, let's go. Countdown begins to our final number one for Joshua, the top companion of all time. Let's hear it.
Romana!
Romana!
She's great. You have the same thing of like no romantic relationship stuff, like good best friend thing, but also a Time Lord. I always feel like it's so, to me, there's always just a little bit of weirdness with the doctor going around with a human. I'm like, I get it. It's cool. I don't want him to be like speciesist or racist or something, but like at some point, we live such finite lives compared to him. Like, I just always felt like he would have more in common with another Time Lord. And I feel like they show that case that really well with Romana. They have a lot of fun. Their adventures are great. And you get to see the Doctor do that thing where it's like, let me show you the things that I love about this other world, about this other place. And their adventures together are just so lively. Fourth Doctor isn't my favorite. He's not my least favorite. He's probably like right in the middle for me, actually. But man, them together, still great. Romana's great. One of my favorite episodes is City of Death, which I think she showcased pretty well in that one. So, and you get Paris. It's just fun. And you kind of see the beginning of the world. It's a great story arc. Romana is great fun. And to me, just probably is the companion that made the most sense to me, other than like his granddaughter and some of the stuff like that. I'm like, this one just made sense. And I liked it.
Yeah, adding on a Time Lady into the series makes a lot of sense, you know, especially as they're starting to flesh out Gallifrey and the Time Lords a little bit more.
Yeah,
we see how the Doctor is such an outcast. Yes, in his own society, and what another person in that society would think about him. And Romana 1 and 2 play it very well. I prefer 2 to 1.
Me too.
I mean, they're good for different reasons.
Yeah, I concur. What I don't like about her, I don't think they gave her enough depth, if that makes sense. I liked her personality, but it felt almost like they just didn't flesh the character out enough. Like, she's almost just two-dimensional. And I'm like, I wish they would have given more to her, because it made sense to have a Time Lady along. I liked that they were having fun, that she really brought a lot of spark to the Doctor. I just never, and maybe this is because I didn't, it's been a while since I've seen some of these episodes, but I never was like, I don't get your motives. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, like when the Doctor's doing what he's doing, I get it. I know why he's doing it. Most of the other companions, even Rose, I'm like, I get why you want to be a part of this. Her, I'm like, I like this, but it's just like something just didn't quite click. She's still my favorite. I love her. I'm just trying to find a flaw, and that's the best I got.
That's fair. Yeah, and that's something that I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here about later seasons. And that's something we've lost due to certain decisions made to kill Gallifrey again after it had just been undone, is that we lose the ability for the Doctor to be around his own people and to see how they react to him. And sure, there's always something out there where it could be like the meddling monk could still be out there. The Master most definitely is still out there. But what about Romano? We don't know. What about Susan? We don't know. What about other people who we haven't been introduced yet that we could have had if they were still around?
Romana 3. That would be great. Listen, RTD, if you're listening, Romana 3. Just give it to us.
Yeah, if you haven't clicked off, you know, because I've been criticizing you, yes, please give us a Romana 3. Yeah. Oh, and we've also lost the Ronnie too. Thanks for that. Yeah,
Romana 3, yeah. K9. That's the new companions. Make it happen.
All right. Anything else for Romana?
Oh, yeah. I did forget to mention she isn't a dog. Mm. So there is that.
Yeah. That is true. Not a dog.
Unfortunately.
All right. Now for my number one, drum roll, please. We have Ace. I adore Ace so much. I know you're not as big on the Seventh Doctor as I am, but that timeline, number one, it deserved better because it was when the show was about to be canceled. We didn't get to see certain things that were supposed to happen with her and the Seventh Doctor.
I do really like the Seventh Doctor, though.
Oh, you do? Who am I thinking of then?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't. Someone said probably they didn't like Seven as much. Maybe it was Joe. We'll throw him under the bus. Love you, Joe. But Ace is the kind of the definition of scrappy without being a scrappy do. Like, has a love for exploration, has a love for figuring things out, for playing people against each other, for talking back to the Doctor. I mean, who else in the entire history of the show has not called him the Doctor? They just call him the Professor because she kind of knows he gets under his skin.
I will say, though.
Yeah.
I love Scrappy-Doo. And one of the things that Scrappy-Doo has against her, he's a dog. Yeah.
I knew it. And you know what? She's just awesome and fun. She plays well with the Doctor. She reacts well to things happening around her. If she had been written way earlier in the show, she would have been the screaming woman. But no, she takes charge, but also knows her limitations And she also has a healthy expiration of explosives, to the point where the doctor knows that she always has something on her person, even though he knows she's not supposed to. And he's told her not to, and yet she does anyways, because they both love and respect each other. They know that part of themselves. And, I mean, if for those in TV Tropes lore, one thing you know is that the creation of the page, crowning moment of awesome, comes back to Ace, because they were trying to describe the scene of her with her Hand of Omega enhanced baseball bat beating the hell out of a Dalek. What other character in history has done that with a baseball bat? No one else. There's only Ace. There's a reason she calls Ace, because she's the best. And I love that. It's a great episode for her. But also there's, is it the Curse of Fenric? I can't remember off the top of my head. It's the one where the doctor has to like tell her, talk down to her, to destroy her belief in him, for the events of that episode to happen in a way, and destroying her confidence. And yet she realizes eventually what he was doing, and she becomes better for it, knowing, yeah, I do have flaws. I need to work on those flaws. And had we had other seasons, we would have seen that occur. And in fact, one of the plans were for her to become a person in training to become a Time Lady. How is that happening? That's something we've never discovered. Can a human being become a Time Lord? Is that something that's just genetic? Is it something scientifically that could be done? Like, the plans were to make her be one.
In the Doctor Who movie, it is said that the Doctor is part human. But the question of if that's true and how canon it is, you know, there's stuff.
Yeah. We're not going to open that can of worms.
No, nope, not today.
Now, as far as her playing off to the Doctor, perfection. Chef's kiss. She's a rowdy, angsty teen who's becoming an adult. But at the same time, there is a respect for him because she understands a little bit of who he is and what he does. But also there's that predilection for not listening to authority, to where he's going to tell her to do something and then she'll go and do the exact opposite, thinking it's a good idea. And chances are it is. But also he knows that. So they're playing off of each other. It's like, who I told you this, knowing you would do this, knowing I would say this, so you would do that. And as someone who loves convoluted things like that, that's fun. to see that play out. And I also love characters who love each other deeply and just snipe back and forth at each other, because it's built off of that love. I want to like get under your skin just because I love you.
Oh, like me and you
love me. Oh, of course. Aww. See, that's why we work so well together.
I love you too, Lex.
Now, what I don't like about Ace, I mean, she's not a perfect character by any stretch of the imagination. Kind of is to me. And I think it, through no fault of her own, it's because the series was canceled and we didn't get as much of her story as we could have. Now, from what I understand, some of the novels do pick up on her story from here about her going to Gallifrey and like studying to become a Time Lady. And I know later on we get mentions of her starting a Charitable Earth Foundation, obviously Ace standing for her. And so it shows that she went beyond where she started as like this punk teenager into someone much bigger who cared about the world and wanted to look out for them. And even without seeing her on screen, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My only thing with her, the explosives thing and a lot of her like characteristics felt a little gimmicky to me. She would have got a shout out though if I remembered her. The problem is, to me personally, a lot of Doctor Who with like the sixth and seventh Doctor storylines are just forgettable. Like, I'm just like, I forget. I think
that's fair.
Like, and I like those doctors. Like, I think, and I'm really glad that Sylvester McCoy got the Hobbit role too. Like, he's awesome. But like, I don't know what it is. It's just the show in this time. It's like, I feel like most of what we've done, we've already did. And most of what we haven't done before didn't need to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it needed that new life. Needed to be regenerated.
All right. Well, those were our top five Doctor Who companions. We'd love to have you guys in the comments down below. If we have to do another episode, I guess I'll change mine.
In 2 years, I'll do this episode again, and I'll have a different five from the last, this time and last time.
So yeah, feel free to leave a comment. Let us know like who your favorite companions are or why you think we're off base for having who we have. But before we head to our wrap up, we are going to be doing a special bonus question for this one. And that is, if we could switch doctors for the companions to work with, so say I sent Ace from, I don't know, 7 to 13 or 7 to 1 or whatever, like who would we switch and with whom? So if you're interested in that and all the other special content that we have that is exclusive to Fourth Wall, head that way. Joshua, anything you want to add before we wrap things up?
If you haven't, look at a picture of Canine. He's a dog. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You always get the most riveting stuff here at Systematic Ecology. Yeah.
Deep, deep stuff. You want to dig deep into your geekology, look up a picture of Canine and see that he's a dog.
All right. Here's how you can redeem yourself for me. Why don't you tell me what your recommendation for the audience is?
Okay. I'm going to recommend kind of a comic book. This is a comic that looks like a deck of cards and is also a deck of cards. Called Ice Cream Man, The Mortal Coil Shuffle. It doesn't have a issue number. It's its own story told through cards. It's wild. It's just, it's so good. If you're a fan of like classic style horror telling, it's a good story. I highly recommend it. And a very unique medium that I think paid off in this instance.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend what I just saw not too long ago. And that is the newest reimagining of Frankenstein, which was
so good.
A lot of fun. I really enjoyed what they did with it. Yeah, there are some changes. Not as bad as, like, say, the 1930s version, which is its own thing based off more of the stage play than it is, you know, the original novel. But they're both good for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what Del Toro does. Wait. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm blank. It is Del Toro, right?
I never know how to say his name right. I was just going to go with the
Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having that panicky moment of I said someone's proper name and did I misattribute who it was? And even though I know that's the right answer, it's like looking at a word that you know that's how it's spelled and you're like, day is not T-H-E-Y. Like, who spells it any other? No. Yeah. Anyways, now that we're off that grand rabbit trail. Thank you guys for all that you do. Please, if you get a chance, leave a 5-star review in your podcasting platform of choice. Helps the ratings there, helps us find more people. That's one of the easiest ways for people to find our show. If you're not sharing it, if you want to feel like, share it. Let other people know that you love us, that you want to have more people hear our voices. For some reason, you like hearing our voices. We love that. If you want to send some questions our way or episode topic ideas, you can always do so at systematicecology@gmail.com. I'd like to shout out some supporters today. Ethan Overcash, Austin Nance, Amber Riley, and of course, as mentioned before, Jonathan Augustine. You guys are the best. Remember, we're all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chillwill. Chillwill, the podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything Kung Fu films. And he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are included. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.